98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Weekly Blast.
The Cardinals have achieved the single most impressive feat of the NFL season. They have won their first seven road games by at least 10 points each. And the only other team to do that was the 68 Cowboys. And you remember that team, don't you, Vinny? Walt Garrison, Bob Hayes, Bob Lilly. Anyway, the Cardinals proved a very important point on Sunday in a game when rust and weather mucked things up quite a bit. They proved they can win anywhere, anytime, in any conditions, and that's not at all what they were saying about Cliff Kingsbury when he first arrived in the desert. Now the Cardinals must find the same thrill with playing in Glendale, where the final three opponents are the Rams on Monday Night Football, the Colts on Christmas Day, and the Seahawks in the last game of the regular season. All three of those games will present unique challenges to a Cardinals team that has proven they can win in any way you want to play, with offense, defense, indoors, outdoors, from the south to the Pacific Northwest to the shores of Lake Michigan. But now, once again, they have to do it at home starting a week from tonight. And let's hope this incoming showdown against the Rams will spark a revival of a real home field advantage at State Farm Stadium, giving the team one more weapon down the stretch. All right, today's Bickley Blast brought to you by my great friends at Chapman BMW. Test drive the ultimate driving machine at Chapman BMW in Chandler, at Chapman BMW on Camelback. Shop online at ChapmanBMW.com.
Yeah, we knew it would be grimy, wet, windy, cold. But I thought our defense played tremendous, creating those takeaways, giving us short fields on offense. We were able to capitalize a few times, and disjointed offensively. We didn't play as well as we probably could have. Couldn't throw it as well as we would have liked, but proud of the effort, proud that we got the win.
Yeah, you know the weather was bad when Cliff Kingsbury comes out wearing a baseball cap.
Yeah.
Only the second time in his career as a Cardinals coach.
That he wore a hat?
Yes.
Really?
To Jim Omohundro and Kevin Zimmerman, who dived into the research.
Well, when was the last one? Do we know?
It was in 2019. I'll have to find it.
Against the Giants, I think he said.
There you go.
Oh, the Chase Edmonds game? Yeah, that's when Chase Edmonds had the three touchdowns against the Giants.
Okay. So what we've got now, so this worked out good to play the Bears in December from the standpoint that coming out of the bye week, it allowed them to play a suboptimal football game and still win relatively comfortably, which they did. And they did prove a larger point in the process, and that is, once again, they are the best road team in the NFL. The Patriots can match that tonight. But the way they're beating teams on the road, it's quite something. So can they flip this now and find a way to do the same thing at home? And can this be like the Suns, who showed up in the playoffs and suddenly had this crazy home court advantage, which they've yet to quite regain this year? This is because this now feels like there should be no excuses for anyone who purchased tickets to not go to this game. That's what it feels like to me. You know, I know Christmas is coming. I know the holidays.
Yeah.
I get all that. But I mean, come on.
You also know Cyndi Lauper once said in an underrated song, no, not girls just want to have fun.
Yeah. Money changes everything. Yeah, I know. But it's something where I think could happen. And if it did happen, I think it might lift this team. I think you might see much better home performances if this crowd gets to that fever pitch level. And the last game they played, wasn't bad.
But I don't want to pin it on the crowd either. Mm-hmm. You can accomplish your goals without having a raucous home crowd. The Cardinals have certainly done that in the past. But I agree with your point.
This is the best team in football.
This is a death blow situation that they're going into on Monday. And I didn't think, beyond my wildest dreams, if things went tremendously well for the Cardinals, they would have the opportunity to put the division in a stranglehold in week 14.
Yeah.
That is the opportunity that is in front of them.
You beat the Rams, your magic number is one to win the division.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. One win, one loss by the Rams.
Wow.
Yep.
Which,
and I think you beat the Rams, you have guaranteed yourself a playoff berth. I think the math works out where if you win next Monday night, you're one win or a Rams loss away from clinching the division, and you've punched your ticket to the playoffs. So you win next week, and everything about Cliff Kingsbury's future changes.
Oh, no doubt about it. Jordan Hicks, who had a really impactful game, had a big sack, was among the tackling leaders again. He talked about just the team hanging tough throughout the full 60 minutes.
I mean, we take a lot of pride in, you know, no matter what the situation is, going out there and playing and keeping points off the board, right? So, you know, there were a couple times where it was frustrating because, you know, in our minds, they shouldn't have scored, right? We gave them points. We gave them opportunities, you know, on missed tackles and whatnot. So, you know, there's always something to correct. But, yeah, turnovers are key. We're always, you know, searching the ball, looking to get turnovers and set our offense up and advantage us.
Boy, thank goodness they couldn't find a trade partner for him in the offseason.
Oh, how about that? How about that?
He's been so valuable.
Yeah. No, I'm completely with you on that.
Which, again, going back to something that we talked about as a developing concern, mm-hmm. is the run defense. It's popped up more than once. Popped up yesterday. David Montgomery did have success running against this Cardinals defense, and had the beginning of the game gone differently, we might be talking about a different outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Zaven Collins as a high first round pick with his positional skills and his body type, that was a guy that they were counting on coming in and helping stuff the run,
yeah,
and can't get on the field right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, and I believe the only reason he was on the field yesterday was for a handful of snaps when Jordan Hicks was hurt, and mm-hmm. then he came back in the game. And so, yeah, nobody expected that, and maybe there were, but again, you can't solve problems with rookies. You can't draw it up on a whiteboard and say, okay, this rookie is going to be the piece we need to stop the run. You don't know what these guys are going to be when they get into the NFL.
You don't.
And this is a recurring issue that keeps biting them. The good news is Steve Keim has turned around his draft record considerably, and he's made some real shrewd acquisitions. So the run defense obviously is the one thing that appears to me needs to be fixed. Special teams, no recurring issues. Kicking game, fine. Secondary has been outstanding, especially given what we thought it was going to look like.
Oh my goodness!
When Malcolm Butler went, see ya.
Remember
yeah.
that guy?
Oh, yeah. Remember that?
You always see those pop up on social media, the expectations versus reality, and it's always like your expectations were great and it turned out to be bad.
Yeah.
It flipped that around. Mm-hmm. Expectations for the secondary, especially the cornerback position, that was a huge concern going into the year, and they've held up. I mean, it hasn't really been an issue all season long.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of penalties yesterday on a couple of corners, but you have to expect that. Attention Cardinals fans, we are issuing a code red all week as the LA Rams invade State Farm Stadium for Monday Night Football next Monday. Text the word red to 620-620. Listen for your name today, 12:30 and 4:30, and then every day this week at 7:30, 12:30, and 4:30. If you win hear your name, you can win tickets to see the Cardinals take on the Rams. That's red, R-E-D, to 620-620. Well, it took a while, but he's back. Kyler Murray had his fingerprints all over this latest Cardinals win. We'll get into it next. Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of Arizona Cardinals football, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford, with Bickley and Murata.
No, I didn't feel rusty. I just, you know, like I said, the weather, it was unfortunate because I didn't get to throw it as much as I would have liked to and get those reps, if that makes sense, you know, downfield and stuff like that, getting the feel of that again. But like another week of practice, I'll be fine.
Kyler Murray, quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals. Yeah, he didn't get a lot of opportunity to practice the throwing reps in the offense, only 15 attempts on the day,
yeah,
11 completions, 123 yards. So the passing line doesn't look all that impactful. But when you look at two touchdowns on that, when you look at the quarterback rating of 136.9,
yeah,
you'll take that and you'll take the win every single time.
Kyle Odegaard tweeted out that Kyler Murray had the highest total QBR in the NFL on Sunday. Isn't that something?
85. On 123 yards.
Yeah, on 123. So, but that, I think, really says something. The thing that I was really impressed by Kyler Murray yesterday is first play of the game, the ball just squirts out of his hand. Second play, it looked like he couldn't get it out of his hand. And I thought, we're going to have some real issues here. He is going to be very limited throwing the football, and he found a way to deliver the football when he had to.
Mm-hmm.
And then he found a way to make big plays with his legs. He ran the ball more yesterday than he has all season long. 10 rushing attempts. That's a season high for him.
It was only the second time in a game that Kyler Murray started and played the entire game that he's thrown 20 or less passes. The other time he did it was in 2019 on a road win against Seattle, where, if memory serves, a lot of the conditions were the same, cold and rainy. The only other time he's had less completions or less attempts in a game was the last game last year against the Rams, that he missed a good portion of the game and only threw the ball 11 times.
Right.
I thought it was a real promising performance. And you have to look at the number you just brought up, Vic.
Mm-hmm.
59 yards on 10 carries.
Yeah.
I did not expect to see that kind of output. I'm wondering, we wondered before the injury, too, because the rushing numbers were way down for Kyler Murray.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was making things happen with his legs, it was escaping pressure, getting outside the pocket, and doing something with his arm. So had the league adjusted? Had the league made the requisite moves to limit Kyler Murray as a running threat, and maybe 3 weeks off plus a bye kind of put that on the back burner for Chicago's defensive staff? I don't know, but they look like they were caught off guard a lot.
Yeah, here's Peter King on the matter. Quote, I think no matter what the number, I take the over on number of times Kyler Murray has turned play action into a sprint out to the right this year. And every time, I'm telling you, every darn time, the defense falls for it and Murray has daylight on the right side. Crazy. Why do D coordinators have such a hard time forcing their left side defenders to stay home for the dangerous Murray? Well, the answer is you're dealing with an idiot. Matt Nagy is a real nice guy, but you're dealing with an idiot here. There are two head coaches in the NFC North that are going to be fired, and neither of them will be the one-win coach in Detroit. Mike Zimmer, Matt Nagy are both going to get blasted out of their jobs.
Ooh.
And should be. And the guy that's going to survive is Dan Campbell, who got the win yesterday. So that's kind of what I think about that. Matt Nagy, I don't know if you saw this, Vinny. He really literally told Bears reporters he was not calling plays yesterday. And they showed him pictures of, you're calling plays. There's visual evidence. I said, no. I was relaying them from the offensive coordinator because he had issues.
So do you, bud.
This
is him talking about that.
So our headsets went out for basically the whole second half. So when we were backed up, it's like high school out there trying to yell the plays that you're getting from up top. We started doing that before we had the walkie-talkie. So when Bill's giving me the play, I got to yell it down to Andy and make sure he gets it. And then a couple series later, we got the walkie-talkie, which is clear for Andy. So I'm basically the conduit to Andy and Bill. And so that's what we did.
Yeah. Basically, you could talk to Bill through your headset, but
yeah,
Andy had no communication with Bill. That's what you're saying.
Correct.
Wow.
The only part I heard was when Matt Nagy said it was like high school. There's a lot of Bears fans going, yeah, this is like high school. All right.
Oh, no doubt about it. And to think that this so now what yesterday was kind of a reality slap in the face for Bears and their fans, because they got through Thanksgiving and they beat the Lions and they could convince themselves for a week and some change that they were okay. They might make the playoffs. No.
We're on the right path.
Yeah.
That was one of those games where it's like, the Cardinals played well, but they essentially played well enough against that team to win. They didn't do anything spectacular. I mean, they forced turnovers, but a couple of those turnovers because Andy Dalton just lobbed the ball to the Cardinals.
Yeah.
But it just showed the talent differential and the coaching differential between the two teams.
And to think that Bears team still has to go to Green Bay for more humiliation from Aaron Rodgers.
He owns them, you know.
He does own them. So it says on Wikipedia, doesn't it?
On the Kyler Murray thing, though, you're right, though. It feels like at least half his touchdowns are on the play action, him rolling to the right, him doing the thing where he just holds the ball out as he walks into the end zone because nobody's there, and it works every time almost.
So I think Cliff Kingsbury, being a smart guy, better be aware for that. When he goes up against smart head coaches, that play is not going to be there. And maybe
that was the difference in what Peter King pointed out was it wasn't a smart game plan by the Bears, and the Cardinals recognized that and wanted to get out on top of it early.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to be able to just rack up almost 60 yards on the ground with Kyler Murray, you're going to take those yards. And again, I thought Kyler Murray did a really, really nice job of limiting the punishment he took.
Yes.
He's maybe the best I've ever seen at that in getting down and limiting the hits, which makes the ankle injury that much more frustrating for a guy who has been so good at that to get injured on a play late in a game like that. That was frustrating. But he looked, you know, any concern I had about him, quote unquote, being back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's fine.
Yeah. Well, and I think it also shows and confirms he was not coming back until he was 100% because he looked fast yesterday. Yeah. That wasn't a guy, you know, struggling to get around yesterday.
No. And get DeAndre Hopkins back too on the same day.
Well, it's...
And those two putting together a play where fourth down and two, and they throw the fade, and wow. That's one of those plays where it's no. Oh, yeah. Okay, good.
Didn't that make you feel good? Just like right in the beginning of the game, you're like, oh, Murray makes a great throw. Hopkins makes a great catch. Okay, the Cardinals are back, and we're going to be fine.
Yeah, it was a very reassuring feeling. There's no doubt about it.
Well, and to be able to get a game in before you play the Rams was paramount, and to win that game was paramount.
And now they have a longer week, too.
Yeah, yeah. So this is going to be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Win VIP tickets to FanDuel Fan Fest happening this Saturday at Westworld of Scottsdale. Head to the contest page at arizonasports.com for complete details and your chance to win. Coming up next, all good things come to an end. That was the case Friday night for the Phoenix Suns in San Francisco. Can they get back to their winning ways tonight? We'll get into it next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The final score, 118-96. The Warriors put an end to the Suns' franchise record 18-game win streak and improved to 19-3 on the season. They have now won 11 straight home games, all by double digits, and tonight they win it by 22.
That was John Bloom Friday night in San Francisco from the Chase Center, where it all came to an end for the Phoenix Suns. Their winning streak of 18 games, as Bloomer mentioned, over. Pretty distinct, and especially in the fourth quarter, pretty complete victory by the Golden State Warriors to end that streak. Now, the Warriors went out the next night, and they saw their home winning streak snapped by the San Antonio Spurs, who just happened to be in town tonight to take on the Suns, and an opportunity for the Suns possibly to start a new winning streak. But I can't say I'm shocked by it. It was a frustrating game to watch. I thought it was kind of a strange performance by the Suns, and they were dealing with some stuff. Mikal Bridges dislocating a pinky, coming back in the game. That affected things. I thought there was some weird shot selection by the Suns.
Campaign was terrible.
Cameron Payne had probably his worst game as a member of the Phoenix Suns.
DeAndre Ayton scored but didn't rebound. So everything they had in terms of that size advantage in their first meeting kind of went away.
Yeah.
They got out-rebounded terribly by Golden State, which should not happen to you.
It shouldn't, but it happened twice in two games last week, even the one that they won in Phoenix. Golden State got unbelievable performances by two guys off their – actually two and a half, really. I thought Bielitsa played really well, but Juan Toscano-Anderson and Gary Payton II in that game combined to go 14 for 17 from the floor and combined for 36 points.
Yeah.
They made a ton of winning plays, and that was the difference. And look, you never want something like that to come to an end, but Monty Williams talked about it. The focus that the Suns showed during that winning streak was something to behold. And now, If you want to look for silver linings in a winning streak ending, it's no longer a talking point. It's no longer something that the Suns need to defend. It might be, in a lot of ways, psychologically freeing to be away from that streak. We'll see. I think this is a very, very buttoned up and put together team that will get back to their winning ways. But they don't have to answer questions about the streak anymore, and that might be a plus.
Yeah, well, to me, what it looks like right now, injuries are catching up with this team a little bit. You've got four members gone, if you count Dario Saric, whom we knew was going to be gone this year. And I think Mikal Bridges, they've been riding him hard. And it's I was worried about that finger. I was very happy to see it reported that it was nothing more than a dislocation. You might want to give him a couple of nights off. I understand the importance of winning basketball games. I really, really do. It just seems to me right that this team's in a tough spot right now. You know, Monty Williams likes to play 9-10 guys a night, and you can't do that now.
Well, Mikal Bridges, I heard dislocation. You're reading body language and facial expressions when the cameras show him walking off the court with the towel over his hand. You're
right.
Like, oh, no, right. Not him.
Not him. Yeah.
And then he comes back and plays in the same game. Here was Bridges Friday night after that injury.
I was hoping it wasn't broken. Just praying it didn't break, but it didn't. So just that's the only thing I was thinking about when that happened.
How painful was it?
It was painful. It felt like just a regular jam until you kind of know it's when you really jam your finger, but it felt a little bit different. So I kind of looked down and saw that it wasn't where it's supposed to be. But it was just weird just having it sit there until they figure out. They don't want to pop it back in if it's broken. So.
Yeah, that was actually a practice yesterday as the Suns get ready for the Spurs. And about that subject you brought up, Bick, is this a time off kind of thing to get Mikal Bridges back to 100%? He says no.
I don't miss games. I can only miss it if something was broken or I literally can't go on the court. So it's just something's just how I was raised and people around me.
I admire that, but I worry you. I worry you about that.
Well, that was one way to limit his minutes. We had talked about it Friday before that game in San Francisco. Hey, he's playing a lot of minutes. Monty Williams was asked about it, 40 minutes plus three straight nights for three straight games for Mikal Bridges. Dislocating a finger and having to go back to the locker room, that's one way to limit your minutes.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Yeah,
but he is a guy that prides himself on never missing games. And here he's never missed a game in the NBA. I think you got to go back to high school for the last time that Mikal Bridges missed a game. Monty Williams definitely proud of his fourth-year player.
I just told him I was so proud of his sacrifice for the team, and I was so grateful that he didn't break it because the look on his face, it looked like he broke it, and my heart just sunk, not because he was hurt, but because of what he means to our team, what he means to me, and how hard he works. And for him to come back and basically play with one hand, I mean, basically says a lot about who we are as a ball club. So I'm just grateful it wasn't worse.
Yeah, you just hope it's not just playing to extend a streak. It's playing because you feel like you can be effective. And it was a kind of a disjointed game all the way around. Mm-hmm. But Mikal Bridges didn't really look all that aggressive offensively when he came back into the game, and that's a concern.
And so I don't know what the long term prognosis, if that finger's in risk of dislocating again without rest, or if it's just fine now. Again, I would be very, very careful at this point going forward. The return of Devin Booker obviously will help the offense because it's. The team can play good enough quality defense to beat most NBA teams.
Yeah, that was shaping up for me. And watching it unfold, you're like, wow, this is going to be one of those games where they're putting their themselves in position to steal it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't play well in the first half. I tweeted at halftime, hey, if Cameron Payne gets going, the Suns can actually win this thing. And he was really pressing, trying to make things happen and that's the downfall of an energetic player sometimes is when it's not going, he's going to continue to try to shoot his way out of it. 3 for 17 for Cameron Payne, so it just wasn't there. And, you know, early in the fourth quarter, it kind of fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not easier. I mean, San Antonio was a team that the Suns beat at their place during the streak.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming together a little bit. They've won 4 straight games, which is right now the second longest streak in the NBA. The Houston Rockets have the longest winning streak at 6 in a row, which is unfathomable
to
me. But they're coming in. The Spurs are a team with a little bit of confidence. This is going to be a tough game tonight.
Yeah, it is. And is Landry Shamet okay? Is his wrist okay?
I didn't hear any reports on it, so I'm assuming.
I don't think he was on the injury report
at
all.
Yeah. Okay. I thought of a good nickname for him. We were talking about that last week when you thought of the dagger.
Yeah.
How does Landry Shazamet work for you? Not so well. Not so much.
I don't hate it.
Okay.
I think that's what Al calls him.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that.
Okay.
Neither did I.
Well, now you all know.
I guess it makes sense. Wow. Kind of ties into his whole deal.
Great minds think alike, I suppose.
Okay.
The DeAndre Ayton line from Friday, you mentioned it. He scored a low shooting percentage, 7 for 16. Promising thing was Suns got to the line a ton against Golden State. If not for that, they might have been just completely blown out. But they shot 35 free throws in that game. Ayton shot 11 and made 9. That's a positive moving forward. DeAndre Ayton, after that loss on Friday, shared his thoughts on the winning streak coming to an end.
Yeah, I started another one. Everybody had high spirits. This guy was a little winded from the back-to-back. He was fighting everything, to be honest. But San Antonio still got to come to play. But, you know, guys were still up in spirits and still laughs and all of that. You know, that's a great team. Let's just be honest. And, you know, if somebody would have beat us in this league, it better be the top two team. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, you just got to show respect. And, you know, we're going to see him again. And going by the beam.
Now, I had a little...
Is that conceding too much to Golden State?
For what it's worth. That they're a top two team?
That, let's be honest, they're a great team.
I don't think so.
Okay.
You know, things can change, but they play with such a confidence. And I took a shot at their fans, mostly fans on social media after that game. But the fans that are in the arena, I noticed this when the Suns beat the Knicks. When the Knicks did something wrong in that game, like leave a wide open Devin Booker to shoot, you could hear audible groans throughout the arena. They know what's going on. The fans at Chase Center know what's going on. And I think Steph Curry is amazing, and he was way better in that game than he was in the game in Phoenix, without a doubt. Hit 6 3-pointers. But the anticipation that crowd shows him when he's got the ball in his hands and is setting up for a three, it's electric. You can feel it through the television set.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They've kind of fired that back up again. And so, yeah, that's but to me, what took the edge off of Friday night was hearing that Golden State lost to San Antonio on Saturday, because it just kind of shows you that back-to-backs are difficult.
They really are.
And if your Phoenix losing in Golden State is less egregious than Golden State losing to San Antonio, even though San Antonio's kind of caught fire a little bit.
Yep, and just before we break.
Here is Shamet. It is a Shamet with the three. Shazamet. How about that?
There we go. Okay.
I like it.
I see Dal. L's the one that coined it.
Yeah, great minds think alike. Suns and Spurs tonight from Footprint Center, 7 o'clock tip, 6:30 pregame here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. You can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, James freaking Connor continues to be a star out of nowhere for the Arizona Cardinals. We'll get into that performance and more next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of Arizona Cardinals football, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford, with Bickley and Murata.
Second and two on the 34. They hand it off right side. First down, Connor, 40, 45. Lowers the shoulder on a DB. Runs right through his arms at the 48. He's down to the 45-yard line. That's a 21-yard run by James Connor. Bunch formation to the right. Kyler back to throw. Fires right side. What a catch by Moore at the 20. Runs right to the 10 to the 5. It's Connor, actually, into the end zone for the touchdown. I thought it was Rondale Moore because of the hands, but it was James Connor stabbing a ball that was an errant pass. It looked like it was going to go over his head. He grabbed it with his left hand, and then he ran down the right sideline into the end zone for the touchdown, and the Cardinals lead it 20-7.
Yeah, that was the James Connor drive in the second quarter of that game. 21-yard run. He had three straight carries to start that drive, Bick. The first 31 yards of that drive, all James Conner. The last 23, all James Conner on that highlight touchdown catch. So he accounts for 53 yards on a 74-yard touchdown drive. That put the Cardinals back up by two touchdowns in the second quarter. And kind of, you know, coming off of the Bears getting the touchdown on their previous drive, kind of calmed everybody's nerves again, that everything was going to be okay. James Conner, man, I know we've talked about it a lot. I still don't think he's getting the recognition he deserves. Certainly from a national perspective, he has been an absolute godsend. And when you consider they've done this without Chase Edmonds for a good portion of the last month or so, James Conner, his importance has gone up and his output has matched the expectations. He's been fantastic.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And again, the surprise in James Conner is the fact that he has been so versatile, such a dual threat in the passing game as well as the running game. And that pirouetting one-handed catch he made yesterday was kind of proof of all that. That ball was very poorly thrown by Kyler Murray, and he made that catch look easy. And so, to me, though, it's he's been as good as advertised in the physicality department, and this was a real issue with this football team. The really nice guy that is David Johnson quit wanting to run between tackles. Kenyon Drake had to be reminded by his mother to run in between the tackles and still struggled with doing it. It takes a special kind of running back to do that repeatedly. Many of them, they don't want it anymore. They can't do it anymore. They find themselves trying to run laterally to get around the edge, and very few can do that in the NFL. So why do the people try? Because it hurts to do what James Conner is doing. The increase in physicality I think it's all over the field for the Cardinals. It's on defense. You can see some of it on offense. James Conner plays a big role in that. He's got a different kind of aura about him, a different kind of attitude about him. He kind of fits that Steelers mode. So he's been every bit as advertised and then some. Yeah. I agree with you.
And about the catch, here was James Conner.
It was just a free release out the backfield. Just told Kyler to put it on me quick. I was trying to get some width and get my eyes around quick. A little high, went up there and grabbed it. Just try to make a play. And I was still up. And it's a foot race to the pylon, so try to finish.
Yeah, and he did. Another touchdown for James Conner. Here's Cliff Kingsbury talking with Paul Calvisi after the game on the weapon that James Conner is in this Cardinals offense.
That's got to be Sports Center Player of the Week, right? Yeah, that was unbelievable. Yeah. Catches it one-handed, breaks a tackle, and then goes for a touchdown. I mean, I had to run down there and give him a hug because I'm like, that is insane. A third down, too. So he's been just a godsend for us, especially with Chase out, being able to shoulder the load like he has offensively. He just continues to get better and better.
Yeah, I mean, again, to consider, and Cliff Kingsbury has been singing the praises of the versatility of James Conner since he's been in town. We see it more and more every week. But consider a running back who's not exactly known for being a great pass catcher throughout his career, making a catch like that in conditions like that. When you saw Bears receivers dropping the football all over the place.
Yeah.
The first two interceptions were off deflections. The Cole Kmet one was amazing. That he couldn't hold on to that football.
The first one that Andy Dalton threw, that was a really bad pass.
It was.
Now, a better receiver maybe catches
if
that.
If you can touch it, you can catch it, old saying.
Maybe. It's funny because there are a couple of Cardinals players who have made it a point that they did not want to be limited by perceptions. When Colt McCoy came here, he rejected the idea that I'm just here to mentor, telling Cliff Kingsbury, no, I play football for a living. I don't mentor for a living.
Yeah.
And the same is true with James Conner, where he made it known that there's more to me than just 3 yards in a cloud of dust, putting my head in my helmet in the fan. And he's proven that. Yeah, it's been quite a revelation. He's been sensational. And Chase Edmonds might be coming back for the Rams. So it's all coming together for the Cardinals at the right time.
Yeah, a couple of guys eligible to come back off of injured reserve in time for that game on Monday night. We'll see what transpires during the week. Back to James Conner. He was pretty happy to have his starting quarterback back there.
So for every man in the helmet, has the opportunity to make plays. And then when Kyler's back, he's just able to extend plays, and everybody just wants to make plays and don't let each other down. You know what I mean? So it's everybody just stepping up, really.
Yeah, winning makes everything better. The Cardinals have done a lot of winning, especially on the road this year. Zach Allen, who had a big pick in that game for the Cardinals that led to points. He talked about the vibe in the locker room right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to have confidence, especially when you're on the field and you look at the guys that you're playing with. I mean, across every single position you have, Pro Bowl caliber players, studs, all pros, whatever it is, future Hall of Famers. So, I mean, this is definitely the most fun I've had. I know for a lot of guys you'll get that same answer. So, everyone's playing with a lot of confidence right now and just playing fast and having fun. And you know, the cool thing is that we can be so much better, I think. So we still have yet to play a complete perfect game, and, you know, that's what we're striving for, and I think, you know, we're not too far away from that.
DJ Humphreys on the same subject.
Man, fun is definitely the word to describe it. My coach used to tell me when I was a kid, when I started playing ball, hey, we're here to have fun, but the fun is in winning, and that's what's going on in the locker room. People don't figure out how fun it is to really win and get on that road. You know what I mean? Get on that road, you know, being 7-0 on the road, we just got to figure out how to clean that thing up at home. It's definitely fun.
I thought it was cool, too, in that same interview that DJ Humphreys did with Paul Calvisi. He talked about finally getting to meet Jason Peters, 39-year-old tackle for the Bears. And he said, hey, when I moved to offensive tackle, that was the first tape that I watched, was my coach showed me Jason Peters. And he's been in the league as long as he has, DJ Humphreys, and never met him before. So he was kind of like a kid in a candy store. But yeah, I mean, DJ Humphreys hit on something important that's going to be a big theme of this week's shows, and that is getting better at home. The Cardinals have been ridiculously good on the road this year.
Mm-hmm.
Quite underwhelming at home so far, all things considered.
No, yeah, I mean, it's a stark contrast. It really, really is. And you wonder, what is it about playing at home that isn't bringing out the same kind of performance? The 5 straight road games without a turnover is quite something.
Yeah,
that just does not happen when you go on the road. But that's why I think that is the single most impressive feat in football this season. The fact that they're 7-0 and every one of those road games is by 10 or more points.
That's
in victory.
That's mind-boggling.
It is mind-boggling. Absolutely mind-boggling.
You can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up next on this Big Red Monday, more on the Cardinals through the social studies lens. Social studies with Sarah Cazell is next. Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.